touchdown as he's ever caught. Soli looking for Owens. Jump ball. What a catch. Did you see that? It's first down. Cats inside the 15. Into the end zone. Chad Owens. Touchdown. Fifth touchdown pass of the night for Kolaros. That's a new career best. First and goal.
Welcome to Podski Wee Wee. I'm Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham.
Hey, Mike, how you doing this week?
Oh, not bad. Not bad. Yourself?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Do you peruse Reddit at all?
I do not. I can't say I've ever... I don't even really know what it is. So, no, I've never been on that website, really.
Oh, my God. We're old men yelling at clouds again this week. I don't really know what it is either, but it was brought to my attention that there is a Reddit thread. There's apparently a Canadian Football League Reddit forum. I don't even know what the hell to call it, to be honest with you. But in this forum, they have a bunch of topics. It looks to me, and I'm looking at it right now, it looks kind of like your standard like fan forum, they have on like CFL.ca or Ticats.ca. Kind of looks like that. There's apparently, however, a thread on there, and it's titled "What's the Best CFL Podcast?" So this was brought to my attention because I'm thinking, well, we're a CFL podcast, and I'm sure there's people out there that don't like us. And all my knowledge of Reddit is that it's like the worst of the worst. Like, these are people who are like, they will draw, like, they'll take pictures of people and like put in their mouths and stuff, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's, yeah, it's terrible. They're on there, they're calling people,
you know, like, have you seen the new season of South Park when what's his name is a troll?
Yes, when Randy,
I don't like that.
When Kyle's dad's a troll. Yes, that's exactly, yes, yeah, that's exactly what I think of it. So I'm thinking, so I was like, okay, there's a thread. Okay, maybe there's going to be some funny stuff said about us. And we are mentioned, not by name, but the show is mentioned by name. But unfortunately for us and for the viewers or the listeners out there who could have got a good laugh, no one makes fun of us. They're actually, there's two comments about us, and they're pretty praiseworthy. One guy says, Eskimos fan, so I like the Eskimo Empire, which is also a show we like. We've both been on there. We've both been on it together, so I'm glad they're getting some publicity. And also like Podski Wee Wee, just because they are entertaining to listen to, even though I don't like the Ticats. Mike, we're entertaining.
See, that's a good thing, because sometimes when you listen, not to any CFL podcast, but just in general, if they're not entertaining, if they don't have a good flow to their conversations and all that, it's really hard to listen to. So I take that as a huge compliment from whoever that was.
Their Reddit handle is "A tiny boat in my teacup." No idea what that means.
No. Some kind of sexual thing. Or maybe not. Maybe I just have a dirty mind. I don't know.
You probably do. There is the second comment, which says, this is from Dashiel Bad Horse, which if that is someone's real name, they should be like a cowboy who robs trains, because that is just awesome. They write, anyone who is into the Ticats has to tune into Podski Wee Wee. Best Hamilton podcast for sure, but they also cover a lot of league news as well. Now, I'm not just saying these things to toot our own horn. I enjoy our show. I think we do a pretty good job. I think there are a lot of great shows out there. There's other ones in here that are shouted out, To and Out, Piffle's podcast, Eskimo Empire, like I said. Some people talk about The Waggle, which is the CFL's podcast. You get some Rouge Radio love in there. Like, there's a lot of great CFL podcasts. There's so many CFL podcasts now. I barely get to all of them. I barely get to, like, half of them. Because I listen to a ton of podcasts. Like, it's the one thing that I listen to most when I'm commuting to work or just going to the grocery store or whatever. And there are so many shows out there that you just can't get to them. At least I can't. I try, and I can't get to them all in 1 week. But it seems like almost every team, I think aside from the Argos, has like a dedicated team podcast, which I think is great. This whole podcast thing has grown. We're not the first ones to do it, obviously. We built our empire on the backs of others. But yeah, it's just nice to hear some anonymous people give us a little bit of love.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear those things. And it makes you even though I obviously still want to do the podcast, it just gives you a little bit more motivation that people are out there and enjoy the products. So yeah, it's always nice to hear nice things.
Of course, now that I've said this, the next comment on there is going to be how we both suck. So we'll come.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll keep dipping into the thread and seeing if anyone ever insults us, because those are almost more fun than the praise. But it's nice to hear some nice things from people. Like, you know, I have friends who listen to the show and they say nice things about it, but they're my friends, so you don't know if they're being truthful or not. But hey, people I don't know saying some cool stuff. I'll pat myself on the back, Barry Horowitz style.
Yeah, when I go to Eskimos games, you know, they have the Westivus thing at halftime where the Eskimo, the Empire podcast, you know, gets together, and there's a couple guys who come up to me and say that they listen to the show, and it's always appreciated that they, you know, listen to a bum like me. So anyone who listens out there, it's greatly appreciated.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I love it when I get approached at games because of my work with you on the show and the writing for Three Down Nation. And I think I've told the story before. Whenever someone recognizes me and my friends are around, they're just, after it's over, they're just always astonished. Like, how, like, you, of all people, like, you, like, people know you. That's weird. And it's, I guess, I always get a kick out of it.
It was weird. The one day I got recognized at work, just randomly, this guy came up to me. He's like, Potsky Wee Wee? I'm like, yeah. And there's a guy on Twitter. I think Klondike is his handle. He's from the Yukon.
Oh, yeah. I interact with him. He seems like a good dude. I think he's a Ticats fan, no?
Yeah, he is. I was talking to him for a while. He's a really, really good dude. And I was just, you know, I guess he recognized me from Twitter or whatever because the pictures were out there. But yeah, it's just really cool to, you know, talk to someone who listens to the show.
All right, enough fluffing of ourselves. Let's get into the news. Let's start Ticats talk. Mike, you're going to love this first topic. We got to talk NFL quarterbacks coming to the CFL, your favorite topic.
Yeah, well, we knew. We talked about it last time. You said that, you know, this is going to open up Pandora's box after Vince Young signed. So here we go.
Here we go. The Ticats have added two fairly big names from the NFL ranks. Colin Kaepernick and Robert Griffin III have been added to the Ticats snake list. Let's just start it off where we have to start off. Mike, what do you think about this this move, these moves, I guess?
They're interesting to say the least. I mean, these are two guys that at one point were, you know, in the conversation for maybe not the best quarterbacks in the league, in the NFL, but, you know, they were near the top of the heap. I mean, RG3 coming out of college had major hype. Colin Kaepernick is a guy that was a starting quarterback in a Super Bowl a couple years ago. So these guys' stock has dropped, obviously, in the last couple of years. RG3 because of injuries, I'm pretty sure, and Colin Kaepernick because of his political statement that he did last year with sitting during the American National Anthem. So yeah, they're interesting moves. You know, I kind of question why they're even bothering to put them on the neg list, but then we kind of talked on Twitter and you pointed out, hey, you know, they can trade for their rights to whoever wants them if they're not interested in them actually coming up and playing for the Tiger Cats. So listen, these guys are two guys with major talent, and you know, Kaepernick hasn't dealt with the injuries, so maybe there's more of a chance of him playing than RG3, but you never know. I don't know the status of his injuries at this point, so it's definitely interesting moves right now to add two huge names like that to the neg list.
It's funny talking about these two guys because I used to watch a ton of NCAA ball. Like, I would watch – there was a time when I would watch as much football as I possibly could, and I watched a lot of these guys, Kaepernick at Nevada and RG3 at Baylor, and I always thought these guys were suited, like tailor-made to play in the Canadian Football League. Obviously, RG3 would win the Heisman Trophy, become the number two overall pick. Colin Kaepernick, there was that shift in kind of the NFL thinking, because for a while there, you had to be your Peyton Manning, your Tom Brady, or your Joe Montana, or Dan Marino, where you had to be a statuesque quarterback who didn't really move. And then you kind of saw the NFL get away from that. You saw more athletic quarterbacks. A guy like Aaron Rodgers is pretty darn athletic. Ben Roethlisberger, who's a bigger dude, is pretty athletic. Now you see guys like Cam Newton and Russell Wilson, and being sort of a dual threat quarterback is less seen as a hindrance and more as a positive in the NFL. So these guys RG3, number two pick in the 2012 draft. Colin Kaepernick was a second-round pick. Like you said, Kaepernick took the 49ers to a Super Bowl, and as a 49ers fan, I'm still a little bitter about how that ended. We won't get into it because this is not an NFL podcast. RG3 was Rookie of the Year, got Washington back to the playoffs, and if you know anything about the NFL, Washington is they're a mess.
Joke.
Yeah, pretty, like, they are. They really are. They've been bad for a very long time. They show, like, not Cleveland Browns bad, but still pretty bad. So these guys, they were rising stars, and like you said, for various reasons that we don't really need to get into. I think if anyone wants to know my opinions on Colin Kaepernick's political side, you can find me on Twitter, and you'll know exactly where I stand on that. I'll give you a hint. I'm on Colin's side. RG3, though, I honestly could see him playing in the CFL because he's had the starting gig with Washington, lost it due to poor play and due to injury. Then he went to Cleveland last year. Played like a quarter and a half before he got hurt again. Came back late in the season, didn't really do much. I could legitimately see him being out of NFL options and looking and going, if I want to continue my career, if I want to maybe even rejuvenate a bit, maybe going to Canada for a little while could be something. I'm not saying he's going to come up here and start day one. That's ridiculous. We know how both of us feel about the idea of that. So I could see him. Kaepernick, the thing that he's doing socially with his charitable work right now, like he just like got a GoFundMe going where he's going to provide food and water to Somalia. I think if his football career is over, and I don't think it is, I think some NFL team at some point will give him an opportunity because let's face it, he is one of the 64 best quarterbacks. If you look at the starters and the backups in the NFL, he's one of the 64 best quarterbacks in the world. So he should have a job somewhere. But I think if he doesn't, I think he'll be happy doing this like philanthropic work and being sort of a guy who's out there doing some great social work. Like he's, like I said, providing food to Somalia. He donated like $50,000 to Meals on Wheels. He donated $1 million to the Black Lives Matter movement. And whether you agree with what he's doing or not, he's putting his money where his mouth is. And I think he could be one of those guys who becomes a real social activist outside of football and doesn't really need football because he's made good money playing quarterback in the NFL. So, and so is Griffin, don't get me wrong, but I could see Griffin as more of a guy who wants to rehabilitate himself, wants to find that road back to the NFL. And I could see him coming up here and once learning the game, I think with his athleticism, he's got a big arm. He was fairly accurate when he played in the NFL, which is that's a hallmark of being a good CFL quarterback is being accurate. So I think he could succeed up here. Whether they ever play for the Tiger Cats, that's another question altogether. Like you said, we kind of discussed this on Twitter back when it was announced. And yeah, I think that you sign these guys up. And if there's a team out there that's in need of a quarterback, a la Montreal last year with Vernon Adams, hey, Robert Griffin III would move the needle in a place like Toronto or anywhere else, really. But you look at the Argos and Griffin's only like 28 years old. It's not like he's over the hill. You could still
Kaepernick probably go to, young too.
Yeah, Kaepernick, I don't think he's 30. Like, I think he's 27, 28, 29. Like, neither of these guys are – this isn't Vince Young. These are not guys who are out of football for 3, 5, 7 years trying to make a comeback. These are guys who are still in their athletic prime. And if either of them decided to come up and put the work in, I think they could both be really successful. I think if I was to choose one of the two that's more likely, I'd say it's RG3.
Really? I'm going to go with Kaepernick. I've heard that he's been blackballed by the NFL for sitting during the national anthem. Now, I'm not sure how true that is. I've just heard that through reports and stuff like that. I've heard that, one, they're blackballed because what he did last year. Two, they don't think he can play quarterback at the NFL level anymore. And there was another reason in there, too. So, listen, I think that Kaepernick would be a guy that would swallow his pride and maybe come up to the CFL just to spite the NFL. I mean, and I don't want to get too heavy into it, but to be blackballed from the NFL because of that, I mean, is just ridiculous. There's players that have done way worse than that, you know, crimes against women and crime, you know, just terrible things that players have done, but they overlook it because they're good football players. And to be blackballed from the NFL because he sat down during the national anthem, which should be his right to do if he wants to do it, is ridiculous to me, but that's another topic, I guess.
Well, and the idea that he's a bad quarterback is just false. If you look at his numbers last year, again, I'm a San Francisco 49ers fan, and Colin Kaepernick was the 49ers quarterback for the last 4 years, so I'm acutely aware of how he plays the game. He has his flaws as a quarterback, don't get me wrong. Every time he throws the ball, it's a goddamn fastball. This guy, he does not have a lot of touch, but he's got a cannon for an arm. He's athletic as any quarterback maybe ever in the history of the National Football League. And last year, his numbers were not bad. The 49ers are horrible. They were 2-14 last year. The only team they beat was the LA Rams, who won more games than San Francisco, but might have actually been a worse team. The Rams are also garbage. But Colin Kaepernick had 18 total touchdowns to 6 total turnovers, and he did it on a team that had absolutely no – like when I say no talent, they had nothing. Like they had a pretty decent running back in Carlos Hyde, but their receiving core was junk. Like this isn't a receiving core that the worst Hamilton High School team would field. Like these guys were bad. It was just wasn't a good football team, and he still was 3-1 touchdown to turnover ratio, which is that's damn good. So this idea that he can't play or that his play has fallen off is absolutely ludicrous. And if he came up to the CFL, like I said, put the work in and got an opportunity, I think he'd thrive up here. I think he'd be really good.
Yeah, I agree. I think both RG3 and Kaepernick could be very successful CFL quarterbacks. And, you know, I don't need that star power in the league to watch. Obviously, we're both fans because we love the game and we just love the game. But could you imagine if there was Vince Young, Kaepernick, and RG3 playing in the CFL? I mean, that would be – I think it would be the most profitable year in the CFL ever. I mean, people are obsessed with, stars, a name you recognize. People who don't give a shit about the CFL would show up to stadiums in Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, all across the country. There's people who don't give a shit about the league that we love, and they would, I think they'd be pretty interested. I mean, stadiums would be packed, ratings would be up. I don't need it. You don't need it. CFL fans don't need these players to come here, but man, I think the CFL would be loving it if it happened.
Oh, absolutely. You don't take guys who have – how many players have started – especially in the modern era. Like, let's talk, like, say, 19 – let's say the last 30 years, because I think that's sort of when you saw the shift of – because for a while, like, the CFL would be able to compete with the NFL for players. That's how Joe Theismann came up and played in Canada. That's how guys like Johnny Rogers played up here, because the CFL could offer a comparative salary. That doesn't happen now. So in the last like 30 or so years, when the NFL has started to become the juggernaut they are, you haven't seen names like Colin Kaepernick or Robert Griffin come up here in their prime. I'm not talking about Ricky Williams playing up here when he's 32 years old or coming off a year-long suspension. I'm not talking about Vince Young at 34 trying to revive his career. I'm talking about guys who were in the NFL. Like, you don't see that anymore. So, yeah, of course, we don't need it, and most of the fans of the CFL don't need it. But, yeah, the league would be licking its chops if it's like, holy crap, we got Vince Young, Colin Kaepernick, and Robert Griffin III starting quarterback in this league. They'd love it. Of course they'd love it. It'd be more money in their pockets and more eyeballs on the product. And it probably would be good for the league in a lot of ways, but in some ways maybe it wouldn't. We can't discuss or know how this would shake out until it actually happens, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just an interesting thought. The ESPN2 ratings would probably take a significant jump. There's a lot of good things that can happen, but it's just unless they're in the league for a long term, it's a short term jump. But we'll wait and see what happens. Maybe these guys will never even play a down in the CFL.
Well, that's just it. We spent 15 minutes talking about them, and they're on a neg list, and maybe you don't even know they're on a neg list. Who knows where it goes from here? But let's talk about a player that actually played in the CFL that's actually doing the reverse. He's going to the NFL. Were you as shocked as I was when you found out that Brett Maher had signed with the Cleveland Browns?
I was pretty shocked. My initial reaction was, yeah, I was shocked, but then I kind of thought about it, and this guy's got a very strong leg. He hits those 50-plus yard field goals usually. He's a good punter. So now that I think about it, and I'm not too shocked. I wish him the best of luck, and maybe he sticks down there, and maybe he doesn't. Maybe he comes back up, and we reap the benefits of having him back. But last year, yeah, you could see that this guy's got a ton of leg strength. He was pretty accurate. And a good punter. So, we'll see how he does down there.
Well, that's just it too. He's not going to be a place kicker punter in the NFL. He'd be one or the other. And even when he signed with Hamilton and people were like, the Ticats signed him, it's like everyone always said he's a really good punter, but he's a bad field goal kicker. Last year, he proved to be a pretty reliable, decent field kicker. There were spots where, holy crap, he missed a field goal. There was that horrible game he had against the BC Lions early last season where he missed three. It happens, but the kid, booming leg, he's got the Ticats record for longest field goal, something Justin Medlock never had. And Justin Medlock's got a leg so big that Winnipeg tried a 61-yard field goal in the playoffs, for crying out loud. So we know how big a leg Medlock has, and Marr is now the guy in the record books for the Ticats to have the longest field goal. I was surprised that an NFL team would take a chance on him. I hope he sticks. I hope he becomes a 10-12-year NFL veteran and goes on to have a great career down in the NFL. And I wish that for every single player that leaves the CFL. The NFL is where they want to be, especially for these American guys. They don't dream of playing in the Canadian Football League, and I understand that, and you understand that. And I think most of the fans of the CFL understand that. So, got you lose
most
a guy like this,
Canadian
it sucks. No, that's true.
Most Canadian players don't dream about being in the CFL.
You're
I
right.
mean, that's where the money is, right?
And any one of us in a heartbeat would jump at an opportunity to leave Canada to ply our trade elsewhere if they're going to give us 8 times the amount that we'd make here, right? Like, you can't look at these guys and judge them in any way but go, best of luck, man. Go kill it down there. And the amount of guys that come from the CFL that make it to the NFL makes the CFL look better, in my opinion, simply because it shows the caliber of player that we have up here, the talent that's up here. It's like this guy went to the CFL and then he was able – like, look at Cam Wake. Cam Wake came up to the CFL, dominated for 2 years, and he's been an all-star, an all-pro, a pro bowler in the NFL numerous times over. And I think that's a good look for the CFL, and we're seeing more and more guys now – leave the CFL and get shots in the NFL. I think it makes the league look better, and I think if Brett Maher succeeds, it's another sign that we have – this is a legitimate league. And I know, like we talked about with Kaepernick and RG3, we don't need this to be recognized. We don't need it. We don't need this validation of guys coming from the CFL to the NFL and proving they can play and showing that our league actually is not just some podunk little amateur thing. We know that, and most of the people who listen to the show know that. But it's still nice to see the general public go, oh, it's another CFL guy making it down south. I think it's just a good look for the CFL.
Yeah, it is. It's good for the reputation of the league, and it's good for American players, talented players that might not, you know, have run out of options in the NFL and say, well, let's go up to the CFL. Let's play a couple years there, and maybe we'll get a look. Because I've said it many times, if you want to get a look in the NFL, the CFL is your best option. You're not going to probably get a look in arena football or any other of these professional leagues. It's NFL's number one, CFL's number two. If you want to get back to the NFL, yeah, you got to come up here.
So this is all great, but it leaves another hole in the Ticats roster. We're going through another kick-in competition, it looks like, again. You look at the landscape of the kickers out there. Mike, are we staring down the barrel of Chris Melo, Hamilton Tiger Cats kicker? Is that going to happen?
I'm not sure. I honestly have no clue what's going to happen with the kicking position, just like I did last year. I mean, I didn't really predict that Maher would be the starting kicker for the Ticats and punter. So it could be Melo, it could be a guy we know, or it could be some guy that we've never heard of from the States. That there's a million kickers out there, I'm sure, that are looking for an opportunity. So hopefully they take their time, bring in a lot of kickers to training camp and grab the best one. And if that's Chris Melo, then that's the way it is.
Okay, good. No offense to Chris Melo, who has had a long career in the CFL with Ottawa, with Saskatchewan, and I'm sure he's got some fans out there, but the amount of times that dude clanks him off the uprights, Mike, it's going to make – if he is the guy that ends up being with the Ticats next year, it's going to make me awfully nervous every single time he goes out there to kick.
Well, the upright is worth 4 points, don't you know?
If that's the case, then sign this guy up.
Exactly. Yeah, we get those 4-pointers. I'm going to throw that rule, throw it at some GMs and see what they think.
If you call bank, it counts for 4. I like it. You got to call it, though. Just like when you're playing 21 and horse, you got to call the bank.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the Ticats news for this week, but we do have some CFL stuff to talk about. Last week was CFL week in Regina. If you followed it along on social media, you'll see that it was pretty big hit with the players, pretty big hit with the fans out in Regina, pretty big hit with the media. It seems like this thing went off fairly well. But my question to you is, Mike, did you care at all about it? You weren't in Regina. I wasn't in Regina. Did this really resonate with you as much as it did with the people who were there?
Well, not as much as the people who were there who experienced what CFL Week was all about. But I will say that I think it's a great idea. I think that it gets people talking. And this is, people have said this a million times, it gets people talking about the league when usually you're not talking about the CFL. So I think it's a spectacular idea. And I hope it's, I know it's going to continue going forward. And I think it's great. I think it's a, like a little mini Grey Cup in the offseason.
Oh, I think the premise is fantastic. I think in looking at everyone out in Regina who was there for it, there was a tinge of jealousy. Don't get me wrong, they were having all this CFL fun, and I was sitting here in Hamilton not being able to enjoy it. It just, to me, though, it feels like it's very localized. It feels to me like this is going to be something that will only appeal to the people in the market where it's held. Not necessarily that's a bad thing, but I wish there was a way, and I don't have any answers here, but I wish there was a way that maybe they could have engaged the fans, the majority of the fans, the 95% of fans who weren't in Regina for this thing, or who won't be in Edmonton or Calgary or Hamilton or wherever they hold it next, who won't be there. I wish that there was more, like they did live stream the combine. They did show some Q&As online, but it would be nice if they were to able to find a way to keep it fan interactive for the people there, but also fan interactive for the people at home. Maybe do something like have a Skype call-in show, or you know what I mean? Like, this whole thing was about kind of getting the players out there, and I think I want these guys to be bigger names than they already are. Obviously, to you and I, they're pretty big names, but to the general populace of Canada, not so much. Maybe try to find a way to interact with the fans at home more through we have the technology to do it. You and I are recording a podcast. I'm sitting in my bedroom in Hamilton. You're sitting in Edmonton, and we're able to have a conversation every week about CFL. So there's a way now to interact with the fans at home. And I love the idea that it went off without a hitch, and it seemed to be this massive success. I just wish that there was more they could do for the fans who wouldn't be able to attend, either through I can't afford to go on a trip across the country, or for whatever reason it may be. I feel like the fans at home are kind of left a little out of this thing.
Yeah, I could see where you're coming from. They did do a lot of player panels and all stuff like that. But yeah, the more interaction, the better. So yeah, I'm sure that going forward they'll take a look at what went on and see what they can improve.
Yeah, I do think I'm in total agreement with you. We need to give kudos to the league for doing this. Because I think it's a fabulous idea. You get these players out there in the community. You get them, you know, this isn't Grey Cup. They're not really stressed about playing a game or anything like that. They're kind of relaxed. They're having fun. You get more of them out there, because you got to think, at least from personally, if I was a player who, say, had played in the East Final and lost, or played in the West Final and lost, I would have no interest in going to Grey Cup parties in the Grey Cup host city, because it's like I'd be bitter about not being able to play there myself because I was so close. But this is it's away from the game. I cannot heap enough praise on the CFL for doing this. But again, there are some things that I wish they would tweak, and maybe we'll get there one day. Obviously it's a work in progress. This was the first one, and it didn't seem like there were very many hiccups involved in all this. So we do have to stress that we do have to give credit to the league for pulling this off.
Yeah, I think it was great that they had, you know, it was like 60 players that came in, star players for the CFL, that they all came in, and, you know, it'd be really cool to be there and interact with these players like they do, like you do a Grey Cup. Like, I remember the Grey Cup in Toronto, 2007. I was wearing a Dave Dickinson jersey. You know, don't beat me down too much. It was a Calgary Dave Dickinson jersey, and he was there at the event that I was at. It was during the day, and he came up to me. He's like, "Hey, I miss wearing that number," because he was with BC at the time. But it's just cool to interact with players that you watch on TV, that you look up to, that you admire, and it's really cool when they're down to earth people, and you can have a have a conversation with him. And that's, to me, that's one of the selling points of the CFL is you can walk up to players and have a conversation. You know, not all the players are going to be friendly, obviously, but a good majority of players that I've ever approached have been really nice people and easy to talk to. So it's a great thing. And they got legends like Warren Moon to come in. I mean, that's really cool. So I can't say enough good things about the idea and how it went the first time around.
You couldn't be more right about like the approachability of players. I don't know if I've ever told this story on here, but years ago when Ivor Wynne Stadium was still around, I want to say it was 2010 or 2011. Me and the group I go with or went to games with then, we used to all congregate in the end zone, and we'd kind of watch the opposing team warm up and we'd hang out and just kind of chat football and it was just our thing. We'd get to the game super early and that's what we do. We'd hang out there, we'd talk, we'd catch up, we'd watch. It was just the way we did things. One time, Marwan Hage, who was out with an injury, he came up to like he was at one of the tents behind the end zone. He came up to us out of nowhere, just eating a hot dog, and just started chatting with us. And like we didn't call him over, nothing. We just kind of sat there and stood there and had this little tiny conversation with Marwan Hage. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what to say. I was a little starstruck because it's like, holy crap, it's Marwan Hage. Like this was if you had a Mount Rushmore of like 2000s Ticats, he'd probably be on there. One of the most well-known Ticat players there is, and just out of nowhere came up to fans and started having a conversation. And I think that's super cool. And in this environment where guys are a lot less stressed about playing the game, I think that I saw the stories coming out of CFL week about fans and players interacting. And I thought it was really cool.
Yep. It's always cool to interact with those guys. I mean, I'm sure even like Warren Moon was approachable, you know, even though he's such a huge star in the States and in Canada. So I would like to go to a CFL week, wherever it may be next year or the year after that. I think it'd be really cool to, you know, get into the combines and all that stuff. I saw that, you know, fans were in there cheering on when they were doing the weightlifting and all that stuff. So it just adds an extra element to that, you know, to the combine, to that sort of thing, because usually I don't think there's fans there, you know, hyping it up, cheering them, making them, you know, do that last bench press because the fans are going crazy. It's just really cool.
Mike Graham, the master of the segue, because my last question to you about CFL week is, where do you think it should head next? There's been some chatter that Winnipeg could be the host next year. There's been a lot of online talk about how Regina should have it until it's really settled. Where do you think that CFL week should go next year?
Well, I'll be selfish and say Edmonton.
I knew you were going to say that.
But listen, I think it could go anywhere except Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver. Now, you might argue that, you know, we have to go there to grow the game, and, you know, they're the big cities and they might have the lesser fan base of, you know, all the other cities. Now, that may not be true, but, you know, you go by attendance and all that stuff. So, you know, I'd like to see it come out east. I think Hamilton would do a good job with it. I think Ottawa would do a good job with it. Any of the other cities in the West, I think, would be great. And I personally wouldn't have a problem with them going back to Saskatchewan again. And I think that's what they're going to do. I think that it was, you know, such a success that they'll bring it back there next year. And maybe the year after that, go somewhere else. Maybe they'll start bidding on it like they do with the Grey Cup. But yeah, anywhere but Toronto, Montreal, or Vancouver is cool with me.
So my pick, I'm also being a little bit of a homer here, is Hamilton. Not just for the fact that I would get to go to these events and have a good time. I think we just saw recently, we're not going to touch on it, we're not going to really go into depth about it, but the 2018 Grey Cup looks like it's going to be somewhere in Alberta. It's being bid on between Calgary and Edmonton. So another year that it won't be in Hamilton. The talk now is that 2019 is the year Hamilton's going to bid on it, which makes sense to me. 150th anniversary of the founding of professional football in Hamilton. I think you can do a huge celebration of that all year, cap it off with a Grey Cup. They don't want to do a Grey Cup game at the stadium while there's still litigation pending. I get it. I'm not upset about it. I really want a Grey Cup here, finally. So I think CFL week should be here because I think it would be a great trial run to show the league and the fans of this league and the league itself that Hamilton can host a marquee event. I keep hearing all the time people say Hamilton can't host a Grey Cup. They have no hotel rooms. They don't have enough to do there. It would be a mess to get around. I call BS on that. I live here. I know what this city's about now. It's not 1996 anymore, people. This Hamilton has transformed from the city you think you know to the city that it actually is. And again, if they can host things like this in Regina, which has less than half of the population of Hamilton, they can host them in Hamilton. But if you have a CFL week here, and it's a roaring success, and I'm going to look on the positive side here and say that it would be, well, then Hamilton has proven to the entire country, yes, we can host a big event, and we can make it successful. And if it fails, then everyone can look and go, well, this is why Hamilton doesn't deserve a Grey Cup, and we'd have to sit there and take, and I would be fine with that. But give this city a chance to show itself off. Give the city a chance to host one of these events, and a CFL week is really low stakes compared to a Grey Cup. Show the fans of this league and everyone who follows this league that Hamilton can be a destination for major CFL events. Give us a chance. That's all I'm saying. Give us a chance. And I think that's why it should be here, simply to get that run. Like, let's host an event. Let's show this country that Hamilton is a place where you can do these things and they can be successful. And then we can start talking about Grey Cups being in Hamilton. And people, it can alleviate a lot of the fears that personally I think are unfounded, but they're there. And the only way to get rid of them is to show, like, the idea Hamilton can't host a Grey Cup until Hamilton hosts a Grey Cup. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the idea of Kevin Glenn can't win the big one, but once he wins a Grey Cup, then he'll have won the big one. You know what I mean? You have to do it before you can get that monkey off your back. CFL week, I think, like I said, low stakes affair, but I think it'd be great to have it here. I think it would be super over with the fans. I think it would be a great event. I think it would be great here, and I think it would prove all the naysayers wrong that, yes, Hamilton is a place where you can host these big events. That's why I think it should be in Hamilton. If it's anywhere else, though, Winnipeg, Regina again. I don't think it should be Regina again. I think they should move it around. I think that's what this thing needs. I think it needs to go to different places as often as possible, simply to get those fan bases engaged. I do agree with you right now. Maybe keep it out of the three big markets. Let's get this thing. You do it in Regina. You do it in Winnipeg. You do it in Hamilton. You do it in Edmonton. I think you build up that this is something that people want to go to. Then you throw it to a Vancouver. Then you throw it to a Montreal. When it's established as to what it is. But I think the next one should be here in Hamilton, and I'm hoping it is, but we'll have to wait and see.
I have no doubt in my mind that a Hamilton Grey Cup would be a huge success. I think the tickets would go really quickly. Like, I have no question in my mind. I know that there are, you know, people out there that have their doubts, but people out there also had their doubts about bringing a team back to Ottawa, and we've seen how well that's turned out so far. So I think it'd be a great trial run for, you know, have a smaller event like CFL week, you know, compared to the Grey Cup, and see how that goes. And I think Hamilton is a football city. I think there's a lot of passion for the Tiger Cats in Hamilton. And I think that would show in CFL week. I think it'd be an awesome event. And I think that a lot of people would turn out to have a good time, to party, to talk CFL. So yeah, I would be thrilled if Hamilton got it next year or the year after that. I think it'd be a great thing for the city and a great thing for the Tiger Cats.
So CFL week had a lot of things come out of it. It was a week long event. The combine we talked about a little bit, but one of the biggest things that came out of it was the Hall of Fame announcement, which I think is awesome. I think it's great that these guys get this showcase to announce it, as opposed to it being like a press release with pictures and stuff like that. I think it's awesome to be able to say, like, this is what we're doing. We're going to get these guys together. We're going to show them off. Like they do in the NFL. Super Bowl week is when they announce who's going to go into the Hall of Fame in August. I think this is great. What a class of players. You have arguably the greatest receiver to ever play the game, G. Roy Simon, heading into the Hall of Fame. Arguably the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, and Anthony Calvillo, headed to the Hall of Fame. Maybe the greatest Canadian linebacker to ever play, in Mike O'Shea. And Kelvin Anderson. The requisite boo of Mike O'Shea, the turncoat. And Kelvin Anderson, who I think was one of the most underrated players in CFL history. The dude had 8 straight 1,000-yard campaigns, and like, that's – could you imagine if a – like, we get happy now when a guy cracks 1,000 yards once. Last year, there were 2,000-yard rushers, and one of them, Brandon Whitaker, can't find a job. He's a free agent. He's on the unemployment line. Kelvin Anderson put together 8 consecutive 1,000-plus-yard seasons. That's just awesome. What a stellar Hall of Fame class of players that the CFL enshrined this week. All of these guys, to me, no-brainers.
Yeah, and I mean, the Kelvin Anderson thing, it's like a running back starting for 8 years is a huge accomplishment. Now, to get 8 years of over 1,000 yards rushing is incredible. So, you know, people kind of overlook his success back in the day because there's been a string of very talented running backs that came out of Calgary in the last 15, 20 years. So it's good to see him go in. And like you said, maybe the best receiver of all time, Giroux Simon, and maybe the best quarterback of all time. Now, those two are debatable. You can, you know, it's a matter of opinion, but the two of the best players that I've ever seen play in this league went into the Hall of Fame this year. And there was a lot of talk that maybe this was the best class of all time. Now, I don't know that. I only go back so far with Hall of Fame classes, but this is the best one I've ever seen in my lifetime. So, yeah, it's just a star-studded Hall of Fame class that they all deserve it, no question. And Mike O'Shea was a hell of a player too. Canadian or not, this guy was a talented player. So, you know, just a great class, and I'm really impressed with it.
Yeah, congratulations to all the guys that got in. You know, Calvillo and O'Shea obviously had their time in Hamilton and left rather unceremoniously and came back to bite us in the butt a few times. But, you know, looking at it from just a fan of the league perspective, those guys were great. All these guys were great, and it's good to see them get their day in the sun. It's kudos to all.
Absolutely.
So another bit of news that came out of CFL Week. This was a weird story. Did you hear about this interaction in a men's room between the commissioner and a member of the Ottawa Red Blacks?
Yeah, I heard something about it. I didn't know who the player was at the time. I honestly thought it was like, you know, a front office guy or something that approached Mr. Orridge. But yeah, just a wacky story.
Okay, we're both in agreement, though, that so it was Antoine Pruneau apparently got in. Not saying he got into Jeffrey Orridge's face is probably a little bit too much, but apparently had a conversation with him in the men's room complaining about Ottawa's 2017 schedule. And we've gone over the schedule, and yeah, the 2 bye weeks in the last 3 weeks of the year, it sucks. I get it, but there's always going to be a team whose schedule sucks. And Pruneau's basic argument was, well, why us? You know what? Suck it up, Buttercup. The Ticats have to play like 12 straight games. They get like a bye in like week 10, and then have to play the rest of the season without a bye. So, look, everyone's got complaints about their schedule. If there's not some complaint about your schedule, chances are the league screwed something up. So, I get it. It's a bad schedule, but you kind of got to deal with it. The one thing that I have a problem with here is you do not go talking to a man in a men's room, right? I'm not off base here. Like, when you're in the bathroom, especially if you're going to the bathroom or you're washing your hands after going to the bathroom, that's a no-talk zone, correct?
Yeah, wait until he gets out of the bathroom. Come on, I have a little class here. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know, I mean, if there was players from every team chasing Jeffrey Orridge in the bathroom, I mean, we'd have some trouble here, I think.
Dude, if I'm in the bathroom and I'm rocking one and I see some dude come up to me, pants are staying down, but the fists are going up, brother. This is a gots to go situation. You do not.
Oh, there's a fight.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. There'd be piss all over the floor. But you do not get in. You do not get into up on a man when he's at the urinal or he's watching. Like, no. This is a no talk zone. The absolute minimum I would have accepted is hearing, oh, Antoine Pruneau was washing his hands and Jeffrey Orridge was washing his hands. He's like, excuse me, Mr. Commissioner, I'd like to talk about something when we exit the men's room. You do not have this conversation in the men's room. Under any circumstances, this is like rule one of the dude handbook. And for Pruneau to break that rule, tisk, tisk, buddy, tisk, tisk.
Yeah. Rule one in the bro code. It just, it's just very, very odd. I mean, you just have to use your common sense, don't you?
Hey, flies open, mouths are shut. That's how I put it.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, so that's pretty much all the good stuff that came out of CFL week, but we still have a little bit of CFL news to cover. In the last couple of days, there's been some rumblings that there could be some changes to the CFL and TSN panel. Two names have sprung up as possible additions. One is former Argos head coach and general manager Jim Barker, and the other is our good friend, Mr. Henry Burris. Mike, what do you think about the idea of these two guys being added to the panel?
I like the idea of bringing in new blood. There, you know, it's, in my opinion, it's gotten a little stale with the members of the panel right now, and I don't know who they'd substitute in or if it would be like a rotation type of thing. But you know, Burris is an interesting idea to bring in. He, you know, we talked about it earlier before we started recording, and like, what's going to happen when he, you know, criticizes a quarterback's play? Is the quarterback gonna, you know, look at what Burris did last year to the panel with calling them out in an interview, and, you know, are they going to go after Burris? And it'd make things very interesting. Barker, yeah, I'm kind of indifferent on. I don't know how charismatic or how interesting he would be. He would lend a interesting perspective because they don't have a GM / head coach on the panel, so there's that. But overall, I think that would be good to bring in some new blood into the panel, even though I like a lot of the guys that are already on it.
I can definitely agree with you. Putting in some new people in place, I think, is always a good idea. It keeps things fresh. And maybe this will be a rotation thing. Maybe it'll be the weeks that Dunnigan's got to do color commentary for a game. They got Burris in the studio. Or maybe they'll give Hank a chance to do some color commentary. Who knows? But I will agree with you that adding some new guys into the mix is not a bad idea. I do like the possible addition of Barker, because, like you said, he does give a perspective that we don't have. We used to get the coach's perspective with Paul Lapolis and Mike Benavides, and I think that was missing last year. They did those, like, coach's playbook things last year, and it didn't pop as well as it did. Mm-hmm. Like, there were, like, these pre-recorded segments, as opposed to when Lapolis was there. It was kind of like, I thought those were really, really insightful. I don't know if Barker could do them that well, because I don't think he spent more of his time, I think, in player personnel than he has on the sidelines. But I always think a different perspective is interesting. Personal feelings about Burris aside, I do think that he's a guy who's going to go into TV, whether it's with the CFL or somewhere else. I think he's very well suited for it. My issue with adding a new player is, can we not get a defensive guy on the panel? Like, we already have a quarterback in Matty Dunnigan. We got the receivers in Milt and Jock, and we got the offensive lineman in Chris Schultz. Can we not get like a David Benefield or some other form of ex player who played on the defensive side of the ball? Like, can we not get one of those guys on there to give the defensive perspective? Because I feel like the panel is always talking about quarterbacks and receivers and offensive linemen. Like, we're not getting that side from a guy who played defensive back or played linebacker. Like, I would really like to get that aspect of it on the panel. I think it would be a more well-rounded panel. But again, we're potentially adding another offensive player, and I just think that not takes the panel down a notch, in my opinion, by not having a more well-rounded group.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see a defensive player on that panel to give the defensive side of the ball. I can't even remember the last time they had one. I can't remember.
On TSN, I don't. But they had, wasn't Greg Frères a defensive back for the Stampeders, and he did. He was on CBC, was he not?
Yeah.
He's the last one I can remember.
And Benefield had something to do with CBC, too.
Yeah, I think he did. So we're going back to the CBC days. They haven't broadcast the CFL ball since, like, 2006. So we're going way back. I don't recall there ever being and I could be wrong. I don't remember every single panel member that CFL and TSN has ever had. But for the last
few, it hasn't changed much.
It really hasn't, right? Like, it's been Dunnigan and Schultz for forever. And then, like, Climie came on board when he retired in, like, 2002. And then it was really those three pretty much all the time until Milt came on board. So I don't think there's been much turnover.
No, I remember the original one was, I think it was Marty York, Bob Ovilovich, and Les Brown.
Oh, Les Brown. There's another defensive guy.
Yeah. So that's going way, way back.
Yeah. So, like, that's my only thing. If you're going to add people to the panel, my only request would be, let's give the defensive guys some love. Let's get a guy who played like Simone Lawrence. To me, is a guy who, when he retires, and look, Ticats fan here, don't want to see him retire for a very long time, But he's a guy who I would hand a microphone to the second he decides to hang up the cleats. He would be perfect for something like this. Give him some seasoning. He's very gregarious. He's very funny. He's very erudite. Like, he's a guy that I'd want on the panel. But we got to get someone. There's got to be – what about a Dante Marsh, a guy who played for many years in this league and has now been retired for a while? What about a guy like Byron Parker? Trying to convince him if he wants – you know what I mean? Like, there has been some really what's the way to put it? Some really outgoing defensive players I think would be really good for a panel. You would have your defensive version of Matt Dunnigan, who is great on these things. So that's my only request. Let's show the defense some love.
Yeah, a little bit of diversity on the panel would be nice.
Okay, last bit of CFL news, Mike. Finally, getting to the end here. The I was going to say Detroit Lions. I don't even know why I was going to say that, but that's what popped in my head. I'm glad I stopped myself. The BC Lions have traded 6-time All-Star Jovan Olufoye to the Montreal Alouettes for the rights to Canadian offensive lineman David, I don't speak English, so I'm probably going to butcher this, Foucault. Interesting trade, no?
No. Is he in the NFL right now?
No. He was the guy who played for the Carolina Panthers, but he was released last year and hasn't signed with anyone.
Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting move. I mean, you look at Wally, and he's done this throughout the years, you know, let go guys that have been all-stars on his team for years and years. I mean, you look at G. Roy Simon. Now, that's a different case. He was at the end of his career. I don't think this offensive lineman is near the end of his career. I think he's 29 or 30. But I think it's a good move for the Montreal Alouettes, who had some questions on the offensive line last year. And bringing a guy like him is huge. I mean, the guy is 6'6", 300 pounds, and a proven commodity in this league, an all-star multiple times. So I think it could turn out good for both teams. You know, if BC actually signs Foucault, or however you say it, he's a young guy and has a ton of potential, and this Montreal is going to benefit from – why am I blanking on the name?
Jovan Olufoye.
There we go. I couldn't remember. I was like bouncing around his name there. But yeah, that could be huge for them for the years to come, because he's a relatively young guy too.
Do you feel like the Owls, with the moves they've made this offseason, bringing in Darian Durant, bringing in Ernest Jackson and Ryan Phillips, and now Olufoye, do you feel like they're going for it in 2017? It really looks to me like they are.
I think they are. I mean, they're bringing in veterans, right, to fill out this team. And I don't necessarily hope it works out for them, but I hope they do all right. I hope they, you know, they create some interest. I hope they're a good team. I just hope they're not as good as the Ticats. But yeah, I think that they're going all in. You know, Durant's the quarterback. He's not a long term solution. So I think they want to win immediately, and I think they have a pretty good team right now.
So in a piece
on paper.
On paper, of course. It's always about being on paper, right?
Yep.
So in a piece for Three Down Nation written by Lowell Ulrich, who BC Lions fans are intimately familiar with, he's talking about why the Lions made this deal. And there's an interesting little tidbit in this that just absolutely shocked me when I read it. So it's talking about the moves that Buono's made and how every year he tends to get rid of a high-priced veteran or ask him to take a pay cut. And I'm just going to read the quote, the line itself verbatim, so that no one can accuse me of mangling what's said. But here it is in a paragraph about this. He says, "Money also cost Buono linebacker Adam Big Hill when the option window created by the general manager by asking for a pay cut in 2016 turned into a 3-year futures deal with the New Orleans Saints. Are you as shocked as I am to find out that Buono asked Adam Big Hill in the offseason following him being named the league's best defensive player to take a pay cut? That was stunning to me."
If you look at his past, I guess it shouldn't be stunning. You know, Buono has the reputation for making those tough decisions, asking star players to take a little bit less money, but this is a guy who's coming off a defensive MOP year. He's your best defensive player. He's a star. He's a known commodity in Vancouver and BC. So yeah, in this case in particular, it's a little bit surprising that he would ask a guy like Adam Big Hill to take less money. a guy who deserves to make every penny he gets.
Well, especially because he's not a high – like, he was a high-priced player, but he's not a long-in-the-tooth veteran player. This isn't a guy who was 33 coming off a miracle season where he just put it all together. This was a guy who was in his mid to late 20s. I think Big Hill's only like 28 or 29 right now. To ask him – like, look, all due respect to Wally, he's in the conversation for the greatest coach general manager of all time. This is not a shot at Wally in any way. But this is just a surprising revelation to me, because you'd think a guy like Big Hill would be one of the few guys who would kind of be safe from this sort of chopping. And I guess he has proved in Wally's world he knows what he's doing. So you got to give him the benefit of the doubt. But apparently asking for this pay cut created the ability for Big Hill to try to go to the NFL, which is weird that would be in a contract. But I guess you're dealing with Wally, you know what you're dealing with. It cost him Adam Big Hill, and maybe you would have lost Adam Big Hill a year later anyway when his contract was completely up. But it'll be interesting if Big Hill doesn't stick in the NFL and he finds himself free to sign with any CFL team, if he goes back to BC or if he took this ask as a bit of a slap in the face. I'm not saying he did. I'm not trying to stir anything up here. It's just this was a surprising revelation to me in this article, and I would have thought a guy like him would have been kind of immune from something like this. But hey, man, Wally knows what he's doing, right?
Yeah, he does, and you look at his squad for next year, and they could be the best team in the league. So, yes, he knows what he's doing, but it is still surprising that your best player, arguably, was asked to take a pay cut.
Well, in this trade here of Olafioye to Montreal, this is what happens when you go out and you sign Brian Burnham to an extension, and you bring in Swayze Waters, who's a high-priced kicker, and you sign Chris Williams, and you bring back Mikhail Brooks. Like, BC went out and spent money. I think they spent money wisely. I don't think they spent money poorly. But is this team better with Olafioye not there and the guys they brought in there? We'll have to wait and see, because we're talking about a guy who's in the conversation right now as the best offensive lineman in the CFL. And now he's playing his trade for Montreal, which is a kick in the nuts for us. And as Ticat fans, because we got to deal with this guy blocking John Chick and Adrian Tracy next year, which is going to make getting to Darian Durant a lot more difficult. And now Montreal's a better team, at least in the short term, for it. So it's kind of a, you know, if the Lions can get this Foucault guy signed and he becomes a starter there, it's a good trade for them in the long run. And in the short run, maybe this is the move that puts the Owls over the top and gives them a shot in the East, because the East is wide open.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anything can happen in the East. You know, I have my thoughts, obviously, on who's going to finish where, but yeah, it's a crapshoot right now.
And we will get to those thoughts at some point in the future. Don't worry, we'll make predictions and make fools out of ourselves, like we've done the previous two seasons where we've made predictions. So that's all for the news, but we're not done yet, Mike, because 2 weeks ago when we did our last episode, you came up with a fun little thing for us to do. So why don't you clue everyone in on what exactly that is and what we'll be doing this week in regards to it?
Well, last podcast, we rated the quarterbacks of the league if they were in a video game. So, you know, you get ratings from 0 to 100 and you rate the players like they would in Madden or like they will in an actual Canadian Football League game that's coming out. Now, it doesn't have the license. It doesn't have the players, you know, the CFL license. But if it comes out on PS4, I will probably buy it because, you know, CFL game or Canadian football game. But this week we are going to talk about the running backs, the starting running backs in the league. You know, we picked around 10 running backs to rate. So we're going to start in the East like we did last week with the quarterbacks, and I'll start with the Ticats.
Hey, before you get going, though, remember last time?
You shut up. You shut up.
Sorry. I just want to make sure I get this in there. Last time we said, hey, guys, if you're out there listening to the show, send us in your QB rankings. We want to know. And we're going to do the same thing. Again, send us in. When we're done with our running backs, I want to see some comments from people about what their running backs are ranked. But we got a response. A frequent contributor to our show, Adam, posted his rankings, his ratings in the comments section on Three Down Nation. So I just like to give him a shout out and give him his due and let you know what he thought. He says, hi guys, here are my rankings. I thought you guys went a little high on some of the backups. So he didn't exactly agree with where we had some of our guys slotted. So here are his rankings. Don't insult the listeners, man. Come on.
Take a hike, Adam. We don't want to. No, I'm just joking, buddy.
Now we're going to get the terrible comments on Reddit. I just know it. So he's got Zach Caleros at a 92, Jeremiah Mazzoli at a 79, Ricky Ray at an 88, Drew Willey at a 75, Darian Durant at an 86, Vernon Adams at a 77. I almost said Andrew Harris. I always do that when I see his name. Trevor Harris at an 89, Drew Tate at a 76, Bo Levi Mitchell at a 96, Andrew Buckley at a 70, Mike Riley, 93, James Franklin, 83, Matt Nichols, 84, Dan Lefevre, 78, Kevin Glenn, 83, Vince Young, 73, Jonathan Jennings, 91, and Travis Lule, 78. So thank you, Adam, for sending in those rankings, and I'm sure we're going to hear next time we record his rankings for the running backs that we're going to get into right now. So, Mike, you want to talk running backs? You said we're going to start in the East. So let's go. Where are we heading first? Hamilton, you said?
Yes, let's go Ticats. And obviously Gable's the guy there for the time being. I got him. Are you ready for this?
I'm waiting.
I got him in a 92. Now, that might seem a little high, but I just look at him, and if he is the guy that he is, if he's healthy out there, he is an all-around running back. He blocks well. He has good speed. He's good in the open field. He catches the ball pretty well out of the backfield. He's just an all-around back. So I gave him a 92, and I think that's fair.
Oh, you're making me rethink my numbers here. I had a really hard time, I'm going to admit, of rating these guys, because we don't see a ton of action from the running backs, and it's hard to sort of peg where their value would be and what they would be. And I think I went low with a lot of mine. Like, I only have one guy in the 90s at all, and it's a kind of a low 90. I put CJ Gable at an 86, and I thought that was a decent ranking, but you've really made a case for him being a little bit higher. I just look at the injuries, and I think in a video game you'd see a guy who gets injured that much, it would knock his number down. I think if maybe he was fully healthy, maybe an 89, 90, or maybe even as high as you had him at a 92 would be where he's at. I got him at 86, but you're making me think that's a tad low, but that's where I got him, and that's what I'm going to stick with.
All right, I might have some, you know, last time I went a little high with quarterbacks too in the ratings compared to you, and I think it's going to be the same way with the running backs.
You're just a more generous rater than I am.
Yeah, generous lover.
So when CFL Week had your way and the players find you, they're going to be like, "Oh, you're the guy that gave me a 92 in Madden. I like you." And they're going to find me and be like, "Hey, you're the asshole that gave me an 84. I don't like you." So you're going to be the hit exactly. With the players, and I'm going to be the guy they think is a jerk.
Yeah, because every player listens to our podcast.
Oh, they must.
they do. All right, let's go to Ottawa next. And, you know, it's tough to say necessarily who's going to be the starting running back. You got Moses Madu, who played a lot last year for them. And you got William Powell, who I think was supposed to be the starter last year.
Yeah, and he tore his Achilles or his ACL. I think it was his ACL. In the first day of training camp. But he looked like a beast going into the season after that. He had a nice little run there with Ottawa at the end of the 2015 season. Looked like he was going to be a player. But, yeah, he did deal with an injury, and I opened the door for Moses Madu later in the year.
Yep, so I picked Madu. I got him at an 86. I think that he's a pretty solid running back, and he could improve in some categories, but overall a really good running back.
So I rated both Powell and Madu. I got Madu at an 82, and I got Powell at an 80. Again, I'm starting to think I was a little harsh with these guys here, but Powell's coming off the injury, so I don't know how good he's going to look. And Madu is I liked him when he played in Hamilton. I thought he looked pretty decent when he played in Ottawa in spurts last year. I just think he's never really gotten a chance to shine. I think he's one of those guys that you'd rate in a game a little lower than he probably should be, and he's the guy who's got, like, the high ceiling. Same with Powell. I think these are guys that, fully healthy, given a chance to tote the rock 12, 15 times a game, I think you'd see their numbers be pretty darn impressive. But we haven't seen it, and I can only rate guys based on what I have seen, so I got them in the low 80s, Madu in 82 and Powell in 80.
Fair enough. Now, the hardest team to pick this for was the Toronto Argonauts, because we don't know who's going to be the starter, and the players that they do have, the running backs that they do have on the roster, are all unknowns. They have one running back that people might be familiar with from the NFL who played with the 49ers. But other than that, no real CFL experience at any of these guys. So we decided to go with Brandon Whitaker, even though he's not with the team anymore, or he's a free agent. And I got him at an 89. I think that he had a good year last year. He was over 1,000 yards, one of two running backs to be over 1,000 yards. I still think that he has a couple more years left in him. So he's a good overall running back, like Matt Zinnigan likes to call him, two-way Whitaker. So yeah, I got him at an 89. Who do you get? What do you have for him?
87, so we're pretty close there.
We're close.
He's knocked down a little bit just due to age and wear and tear. He's a great player. He's a guy who same with Gable to an extent. I'd love to have him as a running back in a video game because he can do it all. So he'd be great as a guy like you throw those swing passes out of the backfield too, and he catches them in the flat and takes them 80 yards for a touchdown. But he is getting a little long in the tooth, and he has dealt with his share of injuries as well. So as great as he was last year, he does get knocked down a slight bit just due to the age factor. And 87, I think, is a nice slot for him. But, so 87 for Brandon Whitaker.
Yeah, that sounds fair to me. Now, the last team in the East, the Montreal Alouettes. I went with Terrell Sutton. I was going to join Brandon Rutley. I was going to call him Brandon Sutton. But Terrell Sutton, I'm a big fan of this guy. I think that he might be the best running back in the league when he's on the field. Just an overall great running back. Really impresses me with the way he runs the ball. I like the way he runs the ball. He hits the hole fast. He has quick feet. And I gave him a 95.
Whoa! Holy smokes! That is a huge difference.
I really like him.
You do really like him. I think he's a great player too. I agree with all the things you said, but he did miss most of last season. You're gonna see a bit of a theme with when I do these things, and injuries and it plays a big role in my rankings. I got him all the way down at an 86, and that's it, really just because of the injury, and I don't know if he's going to be able to come back and be the player that he was pre-injury. So I love the guy as a player, and as you can tell from so far from my rankings, I'm kind of got guys pretty much all clumped together in this like mid to high 80s range. There's not a lot of differentiation here, but yeah, wow, I was shocked you had him that high. Did you rank Rutley at all? Because I put him at an 83 because he's another player I like, but hasn't really shown that he can handle the full load. Did you decide to do him, or did you just stick with Sutton?
I just stuck with Sutton, but an 83, if I were to, I might give him a little bit higher, maybe an 84, an 85, but really close to what you gave him to.
All right, cool. All right, where are we going next, buddy?
All right, let's go to the Western Division. And let's start on the West Coast. Let's start with the BC Lions. Jeremiah Johnson, I gave him a 91. I'm sure it's higher than yours.
A lot
but
higher.
I also like Jeremiah Johnson. I think that at times he was the best running back in the league last year. They got the threat of Jennings throwing the ball, and then they can hand off the ball, which they did quite a bit last year, if I'm not mistaken, to Jeremiah Johnson, and he produced. So I got him at a 91. What do you got?
I got him in the 87, and I got to preface this by saying I absolutely loved Jeremiah Johnson as a player. 2 years ago in our fantasy football league, he was my starting running back when he was in Ottawa. He went on a tear and scored like 9 touchdowns in like 5 weeks, and basically was one of the main reasons why I was able to absolutely obliterate everyone in the league that year. He was just awesome. And then he went to BC and he did that timeshare with Anthony Allen, but Anthony Allen's gone. And I think Johnson has earned the right to be the number one guy there. I think he's a great back. But again, I'm a little stingier with my rankings than you, and I got him pegged in an 87, and I love the guy as a player, but he's in that mix where I think we got one or two top dogs in this league when it comes to running backs, and I think everyone else is kind of all clumped together, and Johnson's one of those guys who has the ability to break out and be the top back. Like you said, at points last year, he looked like the best running back in the CFL. But he didn't look like the best running back in the CFL over the course of the whole season. So that knocks him down a little bit. We've never seen him play a full season, if I'm not mistaken. I think even during his time in Ottawa, he dealt with some injuries. So if he can get 16 to 18 games out of him this year, maybe we do this again in a year from now, and he's a guy in the mid-90s. But right now, an 87.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Now let's go to Winnipeg next. And my
this
favorite.
This is the one I'm most interested in because of your feelings on Andrew Harris. So I'm looking forward to this ranking.
My favorite player of all time. Nothing personal against him. I have changed my tune a bit on Andrew Harris compared to last year. I think that he played really well for the Bombers. I still don't think he's near, one of the best running backs in the league. That's just my personal opinion. Other people probably think I'm an idiot, but that's okay. But I have him at an 89, which might be a little high, or you might think that I would have gave him a lower ranking. But I think 89 is fair. He is a good running back. I will admit that. And, what do you have?
It's funny because I really like Andrew Harris, and I've always found it hilarious that you are – And I don't mean this in a bad way. You're not a fan of his. And I always find that funny that this is like kind of one of the few players that you and I both watch and like just so vociferously disagree on. You know what I mean? Like I love Andrew Harris. You don't like Andrew Harris.
I think he's slow to hit the hole. I think that he's a slow running back. I don't think he has that burst away speed. I've just watched him so many times, you know, not go anywhere. 1 yard, 2 yards. And maybe that's not his fault necessarily. That could be offensive line play, but just too many times he gets stuffed at the line, and I'm just like, ah. And then he runs for like 50 yards on the next play or something. He kind of frustrates me, but yeah, that's just the way it is.
So this is why I find this funny, because you gave him an 89, I gave him an 88. So I love player, and I ranked him lower than you did. Again, some of the criticisms I do think that you have of him are valid. He's another guy who's been nicked up a few times. Not anything serious, but he has missed some time due to injury. I think he's a great dual threat player, catches the ball well, runs the ball well. But maybe I just was too stingy on my rankings because the more I think about it, the more I think that I should have given these guys a little bit more. But it's tough to rank, like I said, CFL running backs because of kind of how little they're used. But he's in my – I think he's my third highest ranked running back. So I do think he's the third best back in a potential CFL video game. So that's got to count for something.
All right. Well, that's very interesting. 88, you gave him an 88. I gave him an 89. But overall, my ratings have been higher. I'm just such a generous, nice person. okay, so let's go to Edmonton, which John White, I'm a huge fan of John White. I love watching him play. I gave him a really high rating. I gave him a 94. I think that he's just a joy to watch. This guy is... You know, he has so much speed. He can juke you, you know, break your ankles. He's a compact dude. He's a strong dude. I gave him a 94.
I do not disagree with anything you said about John White. I gave him an 89, and I'll go back to the same thing I always go back to, injuries. This guy, he was awesome last year, but he suffered that, I think it was an Achilles injury the year before. Again, I think I'm being a little too stingy here, though. I think I should have given him a little. I think I should have given a lot of these guys. I should have ticked them up, maybe each of them like 2 or 3 points. I think I was a little rough. But I got John White's my number two ranked running back. So even at an 89, he's still number two on my list. So that's nothing to shake a stick at. But 89 was my pick.
All right. Now let's go to Saskatchewan. Keenan LaFrance, I think you got him too. Listen, he had a great game in the playoffs last year, but it was in the snow. It's tougher for the defensive players to gain traction. And not taking anything away from him, he had an awesome game. He was one of the main reasons why Ottawa was in the Grey Cup this year. But I got him at an 82. I just haven't seen enough of him to rank him really high. I don't dislike the running back. I just think that I haven't seen enough.
Yeah, and that's why my ranking of 77 is the lowest I gave anyone. It's for the same reasons you just mentioned. Haven't seen him play enough. Don't know what he's capable of doing over a full season. He, to me, is a guy who is ranked like a backup because right now he hasn't proven he can be a full-time starter. So while you may have him a little bit higher than me, I think based on where our grades have fallen on these players – my 77 and your 82 are very similar in where they come from with the other players on our list and what we gave them. But yeah, I think we both see him kind of the same way as a really good backup running back who still has to prove himself as a starter. So yeah, that's why I gave him a 77.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, last team on the list, Calgary. Obviously, the starter is going to be Jerome Messam. Had a monster year last year. I gave him a 96. I think that he's just a monster in the backfield. He runs over guys. I'm sure I don't really know extensively on how good he is as a blocker, but I'm sure he does pretty darn well with the size of him. His speed's pretty darn good for such a big dude like that. So that's why I have him. And just because of the numbers he put up last year, that's why I have him as the highest ranked running back at a 96.
Yeah, he's my top ranked guy too. 93. I gave him a 93. Again, just no real reason. He had to be number one. So he was the first guy I rated. I set the benchmark at him. I went, okay, if he's this, then everyone else has got to fall in line with that. And that's kind of where, he was the measuring stick. And once I decided that sounds about right, could have gone a little higher. Like I said, I think with all these guys, I could have ticked it up a little bit on each of them and maybe given them a little more due. But it's just
I was kind of thinking, would you see the best running back in the league in the NFL in a Madden game at like a 92? You know what I mean?
Probably not. But yeah. I think the best running backs in the NFL get a lot more opportunities than the best guys in the CFL, don't you think? Like Adrian Peterson gets 22 carries a game. Jerome Messam's maybe lucky to get 15 to 17. Like I'll pull up his numbers so we can figure out like what his average carry per game, because I think that plays a lot into it too. Like I tried to look at this strictly from a CFL point of view, and let's be honest, running backs, they don't get a lot of love. Like if we're being truthful, they really don't. And like I said, I think when we were talking about something else before, two guys went over 1,000 yards last year. So Jerome Messam had 206 carries, and he played in all 18 games and had 206 carries. Adrian Peterson gets, like, I'll use him as my example because he's for the longest time was the undisputed best running back in the NFL. He'll have 206 carries after like 8 games. So it's like 11.4 carries a game is what Messam had. That's low. That's backup running back numbers in the NFL. Like Tevin Coleman, who is the backup in Atlanta. Man, we've talked a lot of NFL this week, and I feel like people are going to be kicked off at us for doing it, but we kind of have to. But Tevin Coleman, backup running back for the Atlanta Falcons, he gets like 10 carries a game, and you wouldn't put him at a 90 something. You look at the most recent Madden game, he's probably at best an 85. And this is not meant to take anything away from these guys. It's just kind of how they're used in the CFL games. I think our quarterback rankings were very similar, but I think quarterbacks in both leagues are used about the same. I think when we do wide receivers, I think that's where you're going to see me have guys like just off the top of my head, let's talk about BC. And I'm not, this is just, they have three guys in that receiving core who could all be like 93 plus with Arsenault, Williams, and Burnham. You're not going to see that on any NFL roster. You're not going to see three receivers, maybe two if you're lucky, but you're not getting three guys all in like the 93 to 96 range. So I think that's sort of where I just look at the game and I see that running backs are kind of devalued. And I think in any CFL game, you'd kind of see them devalued here too. That's not to say my rankings are correct. I do agree. I probably was a little too low, but those are I have my reasons, and people can agree with them or disagree with them. But hey, that's kind of why this is fun, and it's all hypothetical, right? Like we're just here to have a good time.
Yeah, not a big deal. It's good to it's good to have different numbers and disagree on certain players. Otherwise, it's not that entertaining. You know?
Although to be honest with you ranking Andrew Harris higher, I feel like I really need to reevaluate my ranking methods, because that's just funny to me.
That is pretty funny. You know, the guy that I've gone after the most, I'd say, in the last couple of years.
Still had him better than I did.
But I will say this, he is a good running back. I will say that.
So next time out, we're going to do receivers. I think you and I decided we're going to split those up, though, east-west. Because there's just so many receivers to go through. We'd be doing a list of like 35 receivers if we did them all at once. So we're going to try to cut that up into two with we'll probably just get the big name guys from each team. Like for crying out loud, Saskatchewan's got like seven guys we could rank. And like that's just ridiculous. We're not going to do all that. But we'll get a good chunk and you'll get some fun there. And like I said before, like with the quarterbacks, like give us your rankings. I want to see them. Hopefully more people will get into doing this, because I want to see more people's rankings. And let me know if you think that I was too stingy, or if you think Mike was too courteous with his ratings. I'm curious to what people think, because again, we're not video game writers. We're not perfect. I just the more opinions we get, the merrier.
Absolutely. I'd love to see anyone's list of running backs. If you still want to do quarterbacks, send it to us too. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. You can, if you want to send us receivers before we even get to them, do that. We'll make you part of our Mike says this, I say this, and this guy or gal that wrote in said this, and we'll just all have a good time.
Absolutely.
All right, so that's the show for this week. Everyone out there, remember you can subscribe to the show on iTunes or listen to it and download it at 3downnation.com. If you want to ask Mike or myself a question, we haven't really done questions in the last little while because we've been focused on these player ratings, but if you want to ask us a question or you want to give us your player ratings, you can always hit us up on Twitter. Mike, your Twitter handle, please.
Mike_Ticats.
You can find me at JoshSmith_82. You can throw those questions in the 3Down Nation comment section, throw those ratings in the 3Down Nation comment section. Everything that's posted there I see, so throw it up there and we'll get to it. So Mike, that was episode 70 of Podski Wee Wee. Already at 70. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I can't. That's a lot of hours talking football.
That is a lot of hours talking football, and no end in sight, my friend. So for Podski Wee Wee this week, I'm Josh Smith.
I'm Mike Graham. Eat 'em raw.
Eat 'em raw.